Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight it's Ian, it's Mark, and it's Zach, and we're talking about Michael Mann's recent film, Public Enemies, with Johnny Depp playing John Dillinger, set in 1933. You have Christian Bale chasing after him, and you have Billy Crudup doing a young J.E. Hoover trying to put together the first war on crime. So, guys, what do you think?
But do you think that, what if they just named the movie Pubic Enemies? And it wasn't a typo, they just did that and just to see what would happen. I had nothing to do with the story at all. Would you guys have been more or less excited to see if it was called Pubic Enemies?
So, we're thinking like along the lines of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, kind of Johnny Depp.
No,
him sort of riding around.
The movie stays
drugs,
exactly the same, but they just call it Pubic
Fighting
Enemies.
Bats.
Yeah.
Like I did in that email I sent to you earlier.
Fighting what?
Well, I already made that joke, pubic enemy joke.
Oh, I didn't. I just figured
it was in your subconscious. Yeah,
an inadvertent typo.
Yeah. It was a vehicle to bring Lily back to us. So, I mean,
yeah,
that was important.
Looking more like a bird than ever.
A big bird.
Ouch.
You'd still plow through that.
No.
What? You would. Yeah.
Rye.
Why not, dude?
Why not? That's what I say.
Rye's all
Who
about the
Who cares if her voice sounds like Isaac Hayes?
Well, you'll never know. Okay, so, basically it's just a kind of a throwback to the old crime pictures, I would say. They got Tommy guns, they run around, they get chased after, there's shootouts.
Well, actually, it's kind of historical. I was watching that, and most of it was pretty much portrayed how it happened.
Yep.
It was a demythologicalizing.
It was still pretty glorified.
The one thing that I did catch that wasn't correct was how, Pretty Boy Floyd got killed. He was actually out in a field, I believe,
and not an orchard.
Nope.
Not provided.
You gonna switch to AT&T?
You're in.
I heard it like over here somewhere.
Keep talking. Keep going.
Okay. So, I mean, you know,
God damn, is this like a prison break? Let me load up my gun.
Hello?
Wow. Telemarketer calls him, and it's way more difficult than when a telemarketer calls me.
I don't even turn the ringer on my phone.
That's a good way to do it.
It is a way to do it.
So what were you guys talking about while I was gone?
We're talking about your phone.
Oh, yeah. That's great, right?
So, yeah, I mean, it was... I don't know much about the history. You kind of know the history enough to know if there was any major anachronisms in the storyline.
I watched all the specials on his channel.
I know it was the right movie at the end that he was watching. He was watching Manhattan Melodrama. IRL.
I didn't realize that Melvin Purvis got the guys from Oklahoma and Texas.
They might have added that, who knows.
Those guys seemed pretty on the ball.
Yeah, I was trying to remember when Bonnie and Clyde ate it, and I want to say I was like 34.
It's pretty close. All the big ones died right around the same time.
Kind of like
because there was this real famous Texas Ranger named Frank Hamer that took them out. Yeah.
Frank Hamer, really?
Hamer.
Nice.
Yeah, he was like old school.
He must have been with a name like Frank Hamer.
Probably the kind of guy they're referencing in Last Man Standing.
Oh, that dude, yeah.
Cool. So, what do you guys think about the film?
Sucked.
You hated it?
I'll never watch it again.
I'll never watch it again either, but I didn't think it sucked. I just thought it was kind of underwhelming.
What did you expect from another crime thriller set in the 30s?
It definitely wasn't whelming.
I'm not really sure what else they could have done with it, to be honest.
Well, you guys, probably neither one of you liked Road to Perdition.
I liked Road to Perdition.
I did too.
I didn't see it, so I'll stay out.
This, I thought, was just... You know, I remember thinking about it, and I started having problems just thinking about the casting. I just couldn't picture... I know he was very talented, but I just can't picture Johnny Depp as Dillinger. I can't picture Christian Bale as Purvis, either.
Depp looked, by the end when he had the little pencil mustache, that looked more like pictures of Dillinger that I've seen than the rest of the time. I mean, all you have to do is kind of have floppy hair and a mustache and you look like anybody, I guess. But I think an actor, I mean, honestly, they probably should have had Dillinger played by Danny DeVito, and then Purvis could have been...
Schwarzenegger?
That'd be a good way to go with it. If not Schwarzenegger, then at least somebody like... Lily Tomlin or something. We'll pull a stubble on her. Pass as a man.
Maybe what's her name? From The Shield. And from Fatal Attraction.
Glenn Close,
mm. Yeah. Mm. That would work. Right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was mannish.
Definitely.
She definitely has a five head.
Yeah, I mean, what about the camera work? That was definitely something different, something new.
That was a major detriment to it, I thought, because if you look at anything from other times set in that era where they take, where it's like a loving recreation of a look, and you take care to set up a shot and background, setting, all that stuff, and the lighting. You know, this the handheld cameras is one thing, but handheld digital camera of poor quality is like you're trying to do a slice of life type thing, like, oh, you feel like you're there type thing.
Yeah.
And
little Dogma 95-esque.
And at that point, starting to feel sick.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the thing where they're trying to demyth the whole thing, you know, like, and make, because there's the stories about Dillinger are always more exciting than the one happened in the movie there. For instance, how he died, there's always been this urban myth about the thing about a lady in red who he sees going a certain direction in an alley and he kind of follows after her, and that's where they end up shooting him. Of course, they don't mention or show that or even show a lady in red. They did have her, when he meets her in the beginning, wearing red, and she, that's kind of her motif. Later on, she wears a red coat and stuff, the chick he's into, Frenchie, whatever her name is, Billy Freshetta. Billy DiGiorno.
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays
DiGiorno. He died just the other day. Show a little respect.
I know, I should.
No. Show some respect, Ian.
Yeah,
Billy Mays, incidentally, really liked the Harry Potter film, so did you hear him review?
We'll get to that on a different podcast.
So I think that the look would have been important, because even if, I mean, I guess it was part of their, like, you know, the making it less of a myth, but at the same time, it's like, why is it important to make it less of a myth? Because when you take away all the fun urban legend rumor stuff about someone like that, and then it becomes what we saw, which is like, it wasn't really that interesting. Like, what this guy's life was about, what really wasn't that interesting.
Which is kind of the, I guess, the gist of this podcast. It is an interesting story. How can 1930s bank robbers, G-men, Tommy guns not be interesting?
Yeah. Exactly. So how did they make it uninteresting?
Well, I don't know. I inclined to disagree a little bit with you. I mean...
On which part?
Well, I thought that just doing something different in terms of the camera work was...
They still sell Fila?
Was worth it.
This guy's wearing Filas over here.
Yeah. And you're wearing a carpenter's shirt.
Yeah.
A long sleeve thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like something that...
Did you cry when she died?
40-year-old woman would get.
What year, yeah, was it? You were still alive.
What year was it? Of the 80s, I was probably like, yeah, you were, no, like, I honestly didn't know she was dead probably until I was, I don't know, 15. At which point.
You cried a little? Care.
Maybe you at least lit a candle, right?
No. My dad, when John Denver died, I've told this story before, he curled up in a blanket and stared at the wall.
Well, you know, to each their own.
At least he wasn't John Dillinger. I mean, I thought that some of the differences with camera work, it did go too far with the shaky cam stuff. It did go too far with that, but it, I don't know. It was something to try, and it was something
to
do.
It's not something to try. He's done it three movies in a row now.
A little bit.
That's not trying anything. He's going with it because
it's something he likes.
First of all, it's way cheaper. It's way, way cheaper.
That's your mom.
Hello? It's going okay. What's up?
Oh, phone cast.
I'm just going to start doing these.
No, I'm not.
This one seems to be a little bit of a disaster.
What's up? Oh, okay, great. I'll let him know. Bye.
Well, yeah, but you're also he's trying this in, like you said, in the context of a period film, and so that's a different kind of thing to look at. And I still think that one thing that Mann excels at is giving you a feel for the environment that you're in. It could be that it's just a side effect of these handheld cameras.
I think he's an excellent director because the most powerful moments of the film are when he's always got the same score in all of them. The score is very similar.
Pretty similar.
You know, it sounds.
The score was reminding me of the Thin Red Line.
It reminded me of The Last Mohicans. I mean, it's Terrence Malick-ish type deal, but the moments where they're talking about planning something. And there's just this ominous rumble of music, and it cuts straight to them walking up the staircase into the bank. Like those are the moments where you're like, this is a very good director at work. But I just feel like they should have gone with the mythology stuff, and they probably should have shot it with film at least. And
even seeing it on the big screen, you still have a lot of problems with the video. You thought it
awful.
Really looked.
It was the worst looking movie I've ever seen.
I kept wondering about that too, because that's like, what is the fucking reel fucked up or?
No,
it would seem out of focus all the time.
That's the digital video he used. David Fincher used a really good one, the really expensive one. They said it was almost as expensive as using film when he used it for Zodiac. The ones he uses are like almost like just commercial grade.
You know, you're not going to get this at all, but some of the camera work reminded me of Observe and Report.
Yeah, I get you. No, I think there was actually a problem at our theater, too, though.
There was a problem with the sound.
The sound was...
The speaker blew during the trailers
or something.
And ever since then, when there was any loud or really high-pitched thing, it buzzed.
It was low, too. The whole sound
it was cutting in and out that, like, stuff that was, you know, they did the surround sound and stuff. Stuff was on the left side was less, you know.
And I don't think they turned our lights down all the way as much as they usually do. Maybe that's just something.
It might have been because you kept looking up at it.
I kept looking
at it. If you notice the lights, I mean, that happens anytime. If you look at the lights, you realize they're on a lot brighter than you thought they would be.
Well, I think that a good looking movie, people will walk out of and say it looked terrible if the sound is bad. So you got to factor that in. Now, obviously, you guys are going.
Who's they? Who says that?
People say that all the time.
You know, I was disappointed. I was disappointed with this audience. No entertaining titty stories beforehand. No hands rubbing. What the hell?
There was a guy on emphysema or whatever.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was so happy when you guys showed up because I parked my ass in the middle, and then he showed up afterwards and he smelled, and I kept hearing this rap.
Yeah.
It's like I don't need to be reminded of this shit.
Phlegmatic.
Like what my fate.
Yeah, some guy's on, some piece of shit was on his way out.
Because just like John Dillinger, you're living for today. You're not thinking about what tomorrow brings.
Right? Now I'm trying to think about tomorrow.
Boring, man. Who cares? But exactly. Here's one thing I think he really tried to do. The storyline really fits a type of Wild Bunch thing where it's the end of an era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these people who don't know how to survive any other way. Like, you know, it's obvious that the big new syndicate crime was swallowing up.
It was also the socialist.
And these bank robbers, these people who are populists no longer have a place in that. They no longer have a place in that. And this guy doesn't want to give it up. He likes the rock star lifestyle it gives him. And I don't know, you know, and I think one of the big issues was an interesting antagonist is someone who has some sort of motivation, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale has none.
His motivation is pretty.
This is none. At the beginning, J. Edgar Hoover goes, "Hey, you want to do this?" And he's like, "Yeah, all right, I'll do it."
Well, it's his job.
No, but he's like, "Hey, I want you to head this thing." He's like, "Okay, yeah."
And that kind of bothered me too because he was really kind of a pencil pusher, and they did bring that out a little bit when they called in the big guns. But I was kind of hoping they'd go in just a little bit after the shooting.
The guy I liked was the white-haired dude who messed everybody up. I liked him.
Yeah. He was great. Cool.
I liked that guy.
I was trying to remember, was he the party smasher from, the movie with James...
From Hard to Shit.
Hard to Shit.
My favorite movie.
Jimmy Woods and freaking Michael J. Fox. What the hell is the name of that movie?
Oh, The Hard Way?
The Hard Way. Was that dude the party smasher? Like, just a lot older?
The serial killer guy from The Hard Way?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he
might have been. I agree with you guys. Yeah, the storyline was kind of... Not only was it kind of generic, but it was kind of flat. It didn't have... Like you said, it didn't have that good antagonist, protagonist, you know...
No, because I really didn't give a shit about any of the characters at all.
No, I wouldn't have anyway, but it just... It didn't really have a lot of that...
There were certain storylines that they'd bring out a little bit, but they'd just never go back to them at all, like the J. Edgar Hoover and the appropriations. And how, I mean, it's just really, I mean, he was a master politician.
They also had the stuff with, like, early crime.
Which is what killed Purvis's career.
He's J. Edgar Hoover, the hard way.
Cool.
Yeah, you're right.
J. Edgar Hoover just totally, because Purvis, after that, became a star and stole all his thunder, so... He had to shit can him, basically. And
so much of a star that he apparently capped himself.
Yeah, because he got put down. Yeah. He threatened Hoover.
That happens.
So Hoover said the only honorable way out is for you to kill yourself in your bathroom.
many years later.
He had no career. Hoover just blacklisted him, basically.
So that might have been maybe a more interesting story, I would think.
The politics involved there, I mean, they brought up... It's just, you know, you brought out a couple interesting points about the changing of an era, mm-hmm. and then organized crime kind of swallowing up everything. And it really was, and it was kind of, they addressed it a little bit with the extra hardware, you know, they got their own Tommy guns, and they called in the big guns, the cowboys.
Yeah, the Texas Rangers.
But that was just it. I mean, it was open season. I mean, you had a bunch of Barney Fifes out there that had... Yeah. Just didn't have the resources or the training to deal with hardcore criminals.
Yeah, the more interesting
it
stuff
was
in
at that time, it was legal to own a Tommy gun. You could go buy one. And then when the fast cars came out,
what a day to live in.
I mean, it was just crazy.
Didn't have to wear
seatbelts.
I think honestly,
booze was legal again. Yeah,
the more interesting stuff in the film was how bad the police were. Like, they were mostly just awful, and it was always, you know...
The ineptitude of the crime.
It was cutting to them a lot, like, looking sheepish after someone was like, well, you just let them get away? What were you guys doing? They're like, I was following you. I heard a shot over here. I came over here.
And that evolution of scientific police work and stuff, they showed a little of that. It was kind of cool. It would have been neat to see more of that.
Those are interesting things that were made thoroughly uninteresting by this movie. It was like it...
The vinyl.
Everything.
I didn't realize that, but that was pretty cool how they make recordings on vinyl. Yeah.
They put it on wax, man.
Or wax. No, I wasn't.
Fingers could come later. And
I don't think those wax machines were different. They'd have like a roll.
Oh, I didn't really that mean was... wax. It's just a phrase meaning, you know.
Well, actually, they used to make wax recordings. Music recording.
Yeah. That said, there were a couple moments that I thought were a legitimate sort of dramatic intensity. When he first escapes,
and he's at the
red light. I thought that was a good scene.
Oh, sure.
The scene when he's running from the Texas Rangers at night and with the Tommy guns and everything when they've escaped the...
You could see that. That'd be a great scene.
Yeah, I thought it was photographed well enough. You thought it was too dark.
That sound I thought was pretty cool. I was kind of excited because I thought this was the first movie that really... captured the sound of a Tommy gun.
Probably.
You know, this place up in Oregon that you can go and it's not cheap.
Guns.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I think it's like
with
it's like a buck a bullet.
Like with the drum.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, a buck a bullet.
Well, the drums came in the 50s and 100s.
Right.
But they were notorious for jamming.
Yeah, right. And it also had like the extra weight added to it and everything made it.
Oh well, shit. You know, it's kind of hard. You just like the guy holding the tomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those things weighed 14 pounds a piece.
Gosh.
They were insanely heavy.
That's
one of the big things they changed in World War II is they kept stripping them down, getting them lighter and lighter.
Well, that's smart. But, I mean, I don't know. I honestly didn't have as big a problem with the video as you guys both did. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just tired of watching movies that give me a headache.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing.
What you were saying about the sounds, the Tommy gun. One interesting thing about, maybe the only good thing about Miami Vice was that since in the end, there's a gigantic shootout in a shipyard or something like that. And it's just a bunch of gunfire. And it actually sounds like real gunfire because one of his purposes in using the digital that he's talked about, and also he used a different kind of sound recording device also. And so it just basically, they don't use as much Foley stuff. They try to get it all. It's almost
live
a
dog sound.
Type of deal. Not quite, but... and it really sounds like gunfire. It's like a gun battle. Like if you've heard stuff and if you've seen things from like wars or things from like people shooting on the streets and stuff. It's like popping. It's not ricochets.
It's not explosive.
And huge blasts.
Yeah.
And explosive. It's these people are firing automatic weapons. It's like a series of really loud pops that.
Well, that's what was cool.
And that draws you into it and that style. So I think Man is still like you said.
Yeah, Man.
Still very good.
I was just thinking. I mean, the most probably one of the best shootout scenes ever is Heat.
Yeah,
the bank robbery scene.
He's always been good with that. Yeah. So I would agree that I think just the storyline here was part of the problem, and I didn't have as big a problem with the look of the video. I do agree that he went overboard with the handheld stuff, and he was trying some sort of new things in what would ostensibly be a period movie, which does kind of make it a little unique. But
we didn't even talk about Donnie Wahlberg. I mean, how can we pass up that opportunity?
Was he in this one?
He was Babyface Nelson.
No, that was not
Wahlberg.
Oh, it was somebody
Channing
else.
Channing Tatum. Oh, the guy from the Step Up movie and from...
He
plays Duke in the new G.I. Joe.
Wait, Duke was Babyface?
Yeah.
The big eaten
dinner? Oh, no, I thought you meant Pretty Boy Floyd. No, Babyface was the guy from... what's the one movie was he in recently? He always plays like a petty thief or a side guy.
Oh, right? Yeah. There was a lot of petty thieves and side guys.
He was in Snatch.
You're right.
He was Tommy.
He was Tommy.
He was Tommy.
That's right, yes.
Named after the dancer, not the gun.
Well, it should have been named after the gun. Maybe it would have lasted a little longer.
Stephen Graham.
I guess he didn't have the minerals.
Nope. So, simple.
He was a psycho, though. Everything I've seen, he was just
apparently
a total psycho.
They got him all figured out. Took him out right quick.
I also didn't find the romance between Depp and whatever her name is convincing.
Yeah, I really didn't give a shit about that.
That's really what kind of ended up driving him after the first act.
And it didn't. You didn't get it.
Yeah. It wasn't convincing.
No, I agree. A lot of times that stuff is so generic and in those kinds of movies anyway. But maybe they find, I don't know. Did they go on a picnic when I stepped off to go take a leak? Did they give them any kind of pleasant moment of...
I don't remember when you stepped off, but...
I missed the bathtub scene. Is that actually in the movie?
Bathtub scene,
she's
sitting there, and she's like, come here, big boy, and he starts walking toward her, and the door breaks open, and they take him away to jail.
Oh, that's when that happened? Okay, so
I'm guessing Prince Albert was bald. That's something I'm kind of curious about.
What? What does that have to do with this?
She makes a reference about showing her bringing Prince Albert.
He says, she's like, get in the tub with me. He's like, all right, should I bring Prince Albert with me? And she's like, yeah, both of you.
So I'm guessing he must be bald.
Okay.
You think he shaved his junk?
Johnny Depp. Yeah. Prince Albert? Oh, absolutely. I think he had some like matchstick girl do it for him.
Doesn't look very bald to me. It's pretty hirsute, actually.
I can't believe they're making a movie about Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah. They already made it.
That was, yes. Okay, I can't believe they made
it. I've been working on it for a while.
Prince Albert, by the end, looked like Dennis Franz.
Awesome. Oh, shit, is he the dude that married Queen Victoria?
Let's see. Queen's grief was overwhelming. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, there you go.
Prince Consort, yeah, totally.
So, yeah,
he never got to be the king, though.
He was a consort, man. He was a high, hard one.
I think Where the Wild Things looks like
it might
be
kids.
A fun movie. A
shitload of kids.
It looks like it might be fun. You,
the what?
The Spike Jones
like
version
Spike
of
Jones.
Where the Wild Things Are?
It was an awful book. The only thing cool about the book
was
the illustration.
It was like 7 pages. What's awful about it?
The story is stupid.
It's a pretty stupid story, but it's a children's picture book.
You read it for the pictures.
Yeah, the pictures are
cool. I hate the Ugly Duckling. That's such a stupid story. There's no character development.
There actually isn't.
There were better stories when you were kids. I mean,
no, there were.
It's like The Wizard of Oz. I mean, you didn't read
we
those
weren't
when you were
kids when that came
that
out.
That was a
though.
Socialist allegory.
That too, right?
It was. Oh, Frank L. Baum's talked about it.
Oh boy. Well, anyway,
he's talking to me right now about it.
good for you. So,
I hotline to him in hell.
So for Michael Mann's public enemies.
So are there flying monkeys now?
Yeah, dude.
Sweet.
They're giving Frank L. Baum the high hard one right now. I'm just going to keep saying that until someone acknowledges that I'm saying the high hard one.
Okay.
Did you get that from McNulty?
I at least want a high five out of it.
Okay.
Double, we going to do the triangle?
Let's do it. Let's do ready? It. That was awesome.
It's pretty good.
Oh, Ryan, you got to get on this, man. Come sit over here.
I'm
all
right.
But okay. The power of our combined high five will end wars.
So I give it a 3 out of 5 for Public Enemies.
I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5.
Worse than Transformers?
Yes. I would rather watch Transformers 2.
Okay.
I'll give it a 2.
2 twos and a 3. So... nothing glaring in the way of a recommendation, I'd say, unless you're a big crime fan.
If you're a big crime fan, unless you're like, you know...
I'm a big crime fan.
Creaming your pants because you're watching Johnny Depp or Christian Bale.
I would say historians more than crime fans. Someone who really likes the idea of John Dillinger might want to go do it. Or people who really like the Dillinger escape plan.
Or
they should have had that in the soundtrack.
The Dogma 95 people that want to see a period movie kind of done with that kind of... parody of that style, I guess, like you said.
I don't know if it was a parody. It was. I think it was just kind of a...
Well, yeah, but you know, there's all those tenets at Dogma 95 that it can't be, have this, this, and that.
Right.
And they obviously, you know, it's a Hollywood movie. They were firing...
Well, I know that a lot of those Dogma people have went ahead and broken most of
those.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, they do. That's the whole joke, is to see how to break it but not be obvious about
right.
it. Okay, well, you can check out Futile Podcast at graniteseed.com/futilepodcast.
You tell them where to see it. But you where to get it, but they're listening to it. If they're listening to it, what's the point of giving them...
If they found it through... Maybe it was on a flash drive on a bus, and so there was
have
one
you been, are you the person littering the city with flash drives?
On buses, yes. I'm littering the whole
all the
city.
Buses I go on all the time, I'm always stunned. There's just flash drives all over the
all
place.
The
you have to wade through them.
Uh-huh. It's like peanut it's shells like, at a bar.
They were like beer cans in Seth's house.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You can send us emails, futilepodcast@gmail.com. You can... go to iTunes and write us a review. You can subscribe via iTunes. Search Futile Podcast.
You need an app.
I need an app for the iPhone. A Futile app.
Yep.
Because so many of the other ones aren't already Futile.
How's the Twitter account going?
The Twitter account?
Have you been tweeting?
I just occasionally, yeah.
You've been dropping hot twits all over?
I drop hot twits all over the place. I twit and a twat.
Nice, man.
Let's keep it clean.
Yeah, seriously, man, that's kind of overboard.
I guess.
You need to have a family safe version of the Futile Podcast, I think.
You should
go
in
30 seconds
heavy.
Long.
You should go bleep heavy on this. You should have a button. Uh-huh. Luke Heine, years ago, he used to always complain that there wasn't a device he wanted to invent this, that you could swear as much as you want, and you would just push the button, and it would be like... a 200 decibel, like, so no one could possibly hear you swear we did it, but it would, like, deafen anyone, like, including you within reach,
uh-huh.
So you could swear, but it would just be loud enough that it would completely cover it. You thought that'd be awesome.
That's,
and I was like,
that sounds like a
Luke
idea.
Deaf after a couple times. He's like, yeah, that's all right.
You'd be deaf after one or two times,
yeah.
I think.
200 decibels?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would suffer
probably,
ridiculous.
What
that
the hell would even make that much sound? I think a fucking, like...
you'd
space shuttle taking
yeah,
off
you'd have
when it gets
in,
up
you'd
to
have
like
to be inside like a Learjet engine to hear something that loud. Probably, I don't even know.
It's pretty bad. Well, anything else, guys?
No.
Did you come up with a catchy phrase to end with?
To end the Futile Podcast?
Uh huh.
Listen or die. I don't know.
Listen or die.
Listen or die. No, I don't do catchphrases. That's not the style.
Can we get some axes and start
Cobra style?
Cobra style.
The way we end it every time is to beat some axes together for a couple minutes.
Because we're the new
we'll have
world.
To go. We'll have to go to a
Brave
some sort of metalworks place to record it.
A smelting plant. It always has to end. They all end at a smelting plant.
I think all movies are supposed to end in a smelting plant.
This one should have.
It should have, for
they
sure.
They should have just said, screw it to the truth.
They should have had an epilogue. After he gets... it's not really a spoiler, because everyone knows that John Dillinger's dead at this moment. But after he dies, they're like, oh, man, he's dead. And then they all start walking away. He just kind of sneaks up and crawls away, you know, because he's not really dead.
Uh-huh.
And they follow him to a smelting plant. And they get him in the silhouette just as he's banging the axes.
You know that?
That would be awesome. I would enjoy that movie.
That's right, the fish beheading plant. Where
One other thing I have to bring up. Has there ever been a better Frank Nitti than Billy Drago? I mean, come on. They should just keep bringing him back.
You mean from The Untouchables?
Uh-huh.
Was he in this movie, too?
No.
Okay, you just...
No, Frank Nitti, I don't even know who the hell the actor was that played him in this. But they had Stanley Tucci play him in Road to Perdition, but Billy Drago, I mean, come on.
Of course. Billy Drago knew what he was doing.
So he plays him in this.
Wait, that character was in this too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank Nitti, he was Al Capone's number two.
He was this guy in it. The guy with the mustache, who was the head of the syndicate empire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when Capone went away, he took over.
Oh, I get it now.
Which was one of my problems with The Untouchables. I mean, it was such an outlandish movie.
Because he pushed him out off of
Sylvester Stallone played him in 1975's Capone.
Shit, I haven't even heard about that movie.
Maybe it was a porno. You probably would have heard about it. So, did you figure that name out yet?
Which one?
No, that one. So, Blaine actually made good on
Oh, yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I think it was something with an S.
Well, we'll have to get back to it. He'll have to get back to us all.
Greta Van Susteren?
He's in San Diego. No.
Have to copy us on it.
He's in San Diego doing skydiving and checking out Asian chicks.
Good for him.